You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hour number two, off and running. Sports Hangover, Gus Kattengill with you, buddy, back in LaRose Studios. We'll take your phone calls on the Rude a Man Can caller and guest hotline, 800-998-1003. Hour two is brought to you by Chris's Pavings, Driveways, Parking Lots, Overlays. It's locally owned and operated, so your asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the New Orleans and Bayou regions is Chris. Paving it all. 985-960-2130. Go check them out online as well. And hour one was brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. The lead each and every hour is brought to you by Lakeview Massage and Therapy. Go get it done. Just go get it done. Mention the show, you get a discount on that massage. Ask for Jess. She'll probably take your phone call. And if you need a little fixing, a little correcting, ask Josh at Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic. Will be there on Wednesday to say hello to him and probably see just how bad my posture is since I last saw him. But looking forward to doing that. As our lead earlier, back in hour number one, was the New Orleans Pelicans getting that win yesterday. So, without further ado, let's do that again quickly, and then I will get you posted back up on all the things that's happening in the NFL, as well as the hip drop tackle is gone. It's banned. Not anybody really likes it, other than apparently the owners who don't want to lose their players for the season. Are you surprised the players don't as well? Plus, I threw that out there. Did you hear what Deion Sanders essentially said about Shedeur Sanders being able? He's going to want him to basically. He said there's four or five teams that he's not allowing his kids to go play for. And there are a lot of people making both sides of the arguments here. Is that where we're going? Player empowerment. Some are saying it's happening already in college. The next step is the pro level. Do you think that's the case? What if Caleb Williams says, this is the team I'm playing for and I'm not playing for anyone else? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Let's get to it.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangout.
All right, Pelicans, get the win, finish the road trip. The victory. They go 3-1, 114-101. Zion Williamson had 36 points in that win, and that comes off of the win in Miami, 111-88, in a game that Zion didn't play the entire fourth quarter. He had 4 points, no Brandon Ingram, and they found a way to beat the Heat. That's what it sounded like on the Pels Radio Network.
Jose, for three, answers. Nice job, Alvarado. Another three, Murphy. Got it.
Heat up, Kenneth.
Right away.
Kenneth the third, making the most of his starting.
Flip it, deflected, and stolen by Najee.
Oh, nice pass.
Up the floor, Jose. Layup good.
Zion trying to get on the board. Spins left, floats it up.
Got the roll, and he is on the board. They leave him alone. Butler spins right, spins left.
Oh, Herb,
leans
nice.
In, and Herb
nice.
Stops the shot. It's a shot clock violation.
Not on Herbert.
Chest it up the floor, Najee Marshall. And he dunked it with a left hand.
Wasn't quite a clean dunk, but we'll take it. Look at Herb flexing.
Jose, two-man game with Jonas, drives in, running right
hand. Floater is good for Alvarado.
Teardropping from Jose.
Jose, whipping left corner Murphy, extra pass CJ, left wing three.
That's
perfect.
Great ball movement.
Perfect.
That is great ball movement.
Jose, right corner three.
Flash.
Rinsed. Look at our bench. Jose, Jose, Jose.
He can shoot it.
There it is. Willie Green on that win.
It's the care factor, and that's what you want. You want guys that care, that compete. We try to continue to look at big picture. And even though we had a tough loss against Orlando, we were 7-2 in this set of 10. We kind of break the season up in 10s. So we had a chance to go 8-2, which we did tonight. And incredible effort by our bench. They didn't have a great game against Orlando, but they came out tonight and they responded right away. Jose, Najee, Larry, you know, Trey and JV are kind of going back and forth, but collectively as a group, it was a big-time win for us.
Yeah, Jose 17, Najee 13, a bit non-existent against Orlando. And by the way, Jimmy Butler saying he was guaranteeing the win.
It was a little extra, you know. They said some things in the media. We heard it, and our guys wanted to respond, and that's the deal. That's what makes this fun. That's what makes sports fun is you get a little trash talking back and forth, and then you get to go out on the floor and compete against each other. And that's what it was tonight. It was two teams competing, trying to make plays for their teams, and we're grateful to be on the winning side.
The other thing that was said afterwards to CJ on that one.
We responded well. We responded well. Understanding what's at stake. You know, 15, 14 games left. Can't lose too many in a row, especially in the West. You know, standings matters right now. And, you know, sticking to our game plan, defending at a high level, and then, you know, trusting our depth. We got a lot of guys that are capable of producing on both sides of the ball, and tonight they did that.
As far as Zion not playing in the fourth, Willie on it?
No, Z's. The other guys in the game had it going. They had momentum. You try to leave those groups in. We thought about bringing them back, but around the time that he would come back, we were kind of putting the game away. So that's what that was, and he totally understands.
All right. So that was back on Friday. Big win, especially on the back-to-back. Yesterday.
Back up top, Williamson. Swing it to McCollum. He'll go right baseline. Spin left. Fall away 10-footer.
Good.
Bucket getter getting buckets early. Najee, the uncontested rebound. Outlet to Alvarado.
Alley-oop Zion! Two-hand thunder in Detroit.
That is a beautiful pass from Jose Alvarado. It was perfect. And Zion finished 8-0 run. Pelzer up 25-10. Turnover number five. Sasser up the floor. Lost it. There's Herb Jones. Another steal. Not on Herb. Up the floor, Hawkins. Get it left corner. Najee sets his feet for three. Good. Heat check Najee. Zion left free throw line extended. He has it. Cross court over to Herb.
Right angle three. Nothing but net for Herb Jones.
McCollum, bounce feed to Z. Kick it to Herb off the curl. Left wing, three, buried. Herbert K. Jones. Zion drives on Fournier, gets bumped, throws it up, got the roll with a left hand. Flex that left bicep, Z. He shall. Kick it out to Najee, right of the top three. Splash for Najee. His fourth made three of the ball game. And that ties his season high. It's the fifth time he's done it this year. Back and forth dribble. Kick it to Z. Left angle. Back up top McCollum. Pop a straightaway three. Got another one. Got another one. Monty Williams takes the timeout. That might be the dagger.
And indeed, Zion with 36 points. They do what they need to do. They take care of business. They left on the road trip in fifth. They came back on the road trip in fifth. Coach Green.
I like that we were really sound defensively. We forced them into some tough shots. You know, these games can be tough sometimes. Last game of a road trip, they have guys out, but I like the fact that our group, we did what we needed to do on their home floor and took care of business.
Zion on a win?
We executed when we needed to. Whenever they went on runs, we countered it with a run right back.
CJ, five threes in the game last night. Zion loving what he's seeing.
Me and CJ, we got great chemistry, especially from last season. So, you know, we're there. When I talk about that chemistry, it's when all three of us are out there, and I think we're in a great spot with that. But me and CJ, we're good.
Look, obviously, him, Zion, having to play and do a lot more without Brandon Ingram. But Willie Green said right now it's kind of everybody helping out. And that's one of the things that I think you want to see, obviously, with Trey and Herb being able to do those things and really help is something that's big. One of the things that also I think stands out is this homestand. And Zion, how he feels going to the home stretch?
I feel great. And I'm having fun. And in terms of stacking my days, it's just doing all the little things. Recovery, conditioning and extra conditioning. And then when we're in practice, just bringing a high intensity. so that my body can be used to that.
Yeah, and I think, look, that's one of the things that you want to see happen, and I think it can help to maybe get that possible home court. It is something that he's talking about.
If we can get it, you know, that'd be great. It'd be great for the city and, you know, great for the team. But, you know, you got to play the cards dealt to you. So wherever we land in the standings, we're going to make the most of it.
So that's how you get into this homestand here and see what they can manage to do. Again, I 3-3. Can we get in 3-3? That's good. Zion's goals for the Final 11?
My answer is always going to be the same. I want to win. The coaches, my teammates, the organization, we all have the same mindset. We just want to win.
Yeah. And again, that's one of the things that I think you've seen some signs of maturity, if it's just me.
First is to get back home, get a little rest, and then get ready to go. We want to take care of home court. That's the biggest thing for us, is focus on one game at a time. Focus on one opponent, and let's try to attack it from that perspective.
And you do. You have to. I mean, because, like, you just look at the next three, the Suns a week from today. It could be daunting, right? And if there's one of those six you got to go get, the Suns. Want to be able to split that. Magic, by the way, Wednesday of next week, and then the Spurs. And then next Friday is when that two-week evaluation hits on Brandon Ingram and get an update, and hopefully he's, you know, back there. Now, you saw him the last two road games on TV, walking around, you know, looking fine. Now, again, walking around is different than being able to play basketball again with the knee contusion and that hyperextension. He's back home here. They can probably really do a lot more rehab and treatment now. And I guess if you had to say a perfect case scenario, the perfect case scenario is for the next six games, 2 weeks, you're at home. So treatment, rehab, getting shots up at the practice facility, doing all that, it's a lot different than being on the road and traveling and doing all those different aspects of it. So I do think that that is something that is a good thing. I do want to play one quick thing before we bring in Rafael Esparza next segment. I promised it again. Pat McAfee and a couple of others are kind of talking about the hip drop tackle and how they're not going to like it, and that it's an overreaction.
This is just a dumb decision. And this is just like the fair catch thing that happened with kickoffs last year, where all the people that are around football are like, if they do this, what else will they do? If they do this, what else will they do? If you take away tackling somebody from the side, what else are they going to take away? J.J. Watt said, why don't you just go ahead and put the belt on now?
Yep.
Start putting the flags on. Why don't you just go ahead and do the two-hand touch right now? Why don't we put paint on everybody's hands so we can see if we get two hands on everybody? Why don't we stop tackling? Why don't we stop violence? Why don't we stop football being football because of this? I know the stats and analytics people are going to take a victory lap because they were the ones that are pissed off about the hip drop tackle existing in the first place.
Of course.
But now that there's actually a rule about it, this has been a call for so many questions. There's going to be so many, oh, he can't tackle anybody. That is going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Now we got more judgment by the refs. Yeah. What do we even do? I just say it doesn't make any sense. Everybody seems to be pissed, and for good reason.
All right, so there you go. Marlon Favorite, who we'll talk to you 1 hour from now. He not in Favorite as well. Of this taking place. Shohei Ohtani is supposed to be addressing reporters here shortly as to what's going on with the brouhaha and the gambling and all that other aspect of it. There's a lot of people talking about it nationally, including Mike Greenberg. Graf, you may want to turn the radio off. At least not now, though. Because Rafael Esparza is coming up next. We'll talk to him. One betting company has put out their odds. The win-loss total of your New Orleans Saints. What do you think it is? We'll tell you about that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Well. If it isn't Rafael Esparza, I'm going to be chatting with him here shortly. His buddy gets a hold of him. And we'll talk to him about what he thinks, what possibly Shohei Ohtani could possibly just say. Mike Greenberg had this to say about what possibly Shohei could say about his interpreter and he loaned him some money or not and all that.
The reaction one has is maybe Ohtani was the one gambling
and his friend is taking the fall, because if Ohtani is gambling, he gets thrown out of baseball, and that's the biggest thing that ever happened in the history of mankind. And if his friend did, it is merely a problem that rises to the level of maybe slightly higher than nuisance, but certainly not the catastrophic result that comes from this if it turns out that Ohtani actually lost $4.5 million gambling.
Rafael Esparza, Mr. Vegas, what do you expect to hear from Shohei Ohtani today with the Dodgers addressing all this?
That's what I'm going to hear about him today. He ain't going to answer questions. I just think he's going to read a statement and then walk out.
Just a prepared statement, huh?
Yep. I've been talking about this a lot. I dealt with Matthew Bowyer when I was at MGM and New York, and all that. He used to be one of our bettors, but he's been pretty much barred pretty much out of every casino in Las Vegas. So that didn't shock me that his name was on there as
the
bookmaker.
No, the interpreter did?
Was, no, the illegal bookmaker, oh, the guy, Matthew Bauer.
Got you.
There's so many statements out there that say that he just bet on soccer. That was the only thing. So if that's the only case that he was betting on, then it's not as bad as it looks. I don't think he was betting baseball games, because even the KBO and the South Korean League and the China League, they have a strict no betting on your sport. So
sure,
I would not be shocked if it was just maybe soccer, maybe a little NBA to sprinkle there and there. But I would be highly, highly shocked. But this reminds me of the 1990s of Michael Jordan's gambling. You think there was rumors that the reason why he left to go play baseball was because he was suspended for 2 years? This is bringing back those memories.
Let me ask you this, because we didn't get a chance to talk to you on Friday about it. But I was asking, you know, John and Chef, and they pay attention a lot more to the betting world and things nicer than I do. Is it normal to run up $4 million in credit?
Or debt? Yes.
It is. That's normal. Like that.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, when you have that type of money, I've seen it so many times where people, there were bettors and even table games and poker, you know, they get markers like there's no tomorrow. I mean, you can just go up and say, hey, so-and-so, and you're staying at the biggest suite in the hotel, and they know who you are, because you pretty much can go to a cage and say, hey, you know what, I need 100K chips. Okay, here you go.
Interesting. Okay, easy enough. The NBA, sir, down to 11 games. What can you at all tell me the money is telling you what people or the public feel the postseason is going to look out here? You want to start with the East or the West?
We'll jump off with the East, and we'll save your West and Pelicans last. But they're saying right now, I mean, yes, the Celtics are the favorite to win the East. I think they're -115, probably +250 to win it all. But don't sleep on the Bucks, who've been playing much better, especially when the Greek Freak was out. Lillard and Middleton were playing outstanding basketball, and their defense spiked up a little bit. But don't forget about Miami playoff heat. I think they can probably beat the Celtics. And it wouldn't shock me if the Knicks come back healthy, that they can probably beat the Celtics. It's not Boston to win it East coming out easy. I think there's three teams, Bucks, don't sleep on the Heat, and don't even sleep on the Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm. Compared to the East and West in terms of the play-in game, 7, 8, 9, and 10, Miami, Sixers, Bulls, and Hawks, compared to right now, if the season ended, Kings, Mavericks, Lakers, and Warriors, it's not even close as to who has the more intriguing play-in situations. Like, the East feel like, yeah, that's the play-in. Those teams are barely in the outside looking in. When you look at the West, do you start looking from 7 to 10, or do you start looking 1 to 4 at 5 and 6? Like, what intrigues you when you look at the West?
I look 1 through 8. I'm gonna put a big X on the Lakers and Warriors. None of those two teams are going to do anything, play-in, playoffs, whatever. But 1 through 8, I mean, if Luka and Kyrie get hot in the playoffs, that's going to be a force. They got some size. They got depth on bench. Sacramento, experienced last year. Phoenix with their three-headed monster and KD. Clippers, if they can come a little bit, if they can play a little healthier. Same thing with Minnesota and OKC. It's a coin toss in the West. I mean, you said it. 7, 8, 9, and 10 in the East is a joke. Let me 8, 9, and 10 is a joke. I'll leave Miami in there because they have all that playoff experience. I'll throw them out. But 8, 9, and 10 in the East is a joke. 1 through 10 in the West is much stronger than 1 through 10 in the East.
If I had $10 that I may or may not swindle from Carver's piggy bank, am I putting it on the 5th spot, the 6th spot, the 7th spot, the 8th spot for the Pels?
I think they're in the 5th spot. I think they're going to stay there.
Really? The 5th spot?
Yeah, I think they're staying in the 5th spot. Phoenix Suns, they're the Phoenix Suns. They're still not gelling. I mean, they got some issues on the bench. Clippers, I think, are going to start playing a little bit better because the playoffs are coming. They're going to get healthy. I think Westbrook comes back. That will shorten up the bench. I can see the Pelicans staying up 5. I don't think the Suns can catch the Pelicans. We'll put it that way.
Okay, I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to move on. Give me a winner or two tonight. Suns and Spurs. That's a game I'm keeping an eye on. Let's do 76ers and Kings. What do you think of 76ers and Kings? Because obviously we want Philly to win. Can Philly do us another favor?
No, I like the Kings. I think they left it. Now, I like the plus points with the Sixers. They've been playing much better. If you can grab that 9.5 in certain spots, I know DraftKings has 9.5 Caesars. In our backyard has 9. If you can get the 9.5, I like the Sixers. But I think the beam gets lit up. Sabonis has been on a tear. His total rebound prop bet is like 14.5. His last home game, he grabbed 18 boards. I would not be shocked if he has a monster game. But I like Sacramento to win, Sixers to cover.
Let's get to, of course, what people want to get to, and that is March Madness. The ladies getting into a second set of games here as well. LSU has moved on. So let's pay attention to, for LSU fans, on the women's side of things in their bracket, UCLA is going to be playing tonight. And that is a game that obviously LSU fans are paying attention to because UCLA and Creighton, that is 7:30 ESPN 2. Who do you like in that one?
I like UCLA. I like UCLA coming out of that region, and that region is just so stacked. You get Iowa, LSU, all that. But I like UCLA coming out of that region. And I'm not bashing LSU. I'm not bashing Caitlin Clark. I just think the UCLA. I love their bench. I love their. They can score. Even though this game could probably go under, this one opened up at 139. Climbed all the way to 141. Would not be shocked if it's an under game. I think UCLA will want to keep it a half-court type of game.
Caitlin Clark playing her final game in Iowa, taking on West Virginia, an 8 seed, 7 o'clock on ESPN.
They win. Now, can they cover the 15? I don't think so. I like West Virginia to keep this close, but I think double-digit, I think Iowa wins by 10.
Can then Iowa get past Colorado?
That was a tough one. I think Colorado is that type of team that they can nip them and pull the wool over and shock them. I would not shock me if that happens. I don't have Iowa. Like I said, I don't have Iowa winning that region. Mm. I don't have my bracket in front of me. I think I had Colorado upsetting Iowa.
Okay. Well, that's, again, in that region, that's just to get to the Final Four. I mean, that's a pretty – right now South Carolina's relaxed. They had a 91-39 win over Presbyterian. Then they beat North Carolina 88-41. They await the winner of Oklahoma, Indiana. Then eventually, it looks like Notre Dame and Ole Miss are off and running right now. They will play the winner of Oregon State. Then them two will play. And then they will play the winner, obviously, of whoever South Carolina plays. They look dominant, man. I would be shocked if they don't make the title game.
They look like what Purdue has looked like so far in a tournament. Purdue got embarrassed last year, came back and just with a domination in their last couple of games. That's what South Carolina women looks like. They look like Purdue. Both teams who were embarrassed last year, I would not be shocked if both those teams are in the national championship game.
All right, you brought it up, so let's go to the men. Purdue, number one overall, 78-50 over Grambling. Then they beat Utah State 106-67. They will take on Gonzaga on the 29th at 6:39. Gonzaga, a 5th seed there. Yeah, Purdue?
I think Purdue wins this one, but this one could be the best game of the tournament right here.
That's
this Purdue Gonzaga game. I'm excited for it. I can't wait to watch this game on Friday. Purdue money came in quickly, opened up at 4.5. Now it's 5.5 right now. So if this is a high scoring game, then I think Gonzaga can keep this close and maybe steal this one. Purdue needs to slow down Gonzaga. They don't need a running match in this one. I'm leaning towards Purdue winning, but Gonzaga covering.
2-3 matchup here. Tennessee the 2, Creighton the 3. This is also a Friday game, 9:09. What do you like in this one?
I like Creighton plus the points. It moved to 3, and I like that 3. I'm not going to bet it now because it's a 10 o'clock game Eastern Standard Time. I'm hoping to get more points on this one because I think Tennessee love will continue to come in. I like Creighton.
Let's go to the other region in the South. Houston and Duke. Houston's had to play 2 tough games. To get to the tournament there as well. And then they beat Longwood 86-46, a tough one against A&M 100-95 in OT. They will take on Duke. Duke's look pretty good, huh? Or do you look
good? Yeah, the only thing I don't like is Duke does not have a deep bench, and Houston likes to go sometimes. They were deep yesterday, even though they had to be because they had foul trouble. I like Houston on this one. The only way I think Duke can upset, Duke needs to run, maybe make a total of like 150, 160. If it's a low-scoring game, I think Houston wins.
Okay, that is also a Friday game, 8:39. And then the other Friday game, NC State and Marquette, 6:09 p.m. Friday.
Yeah, I think NC State slipper comes off. I like Marquette on this one. Even though no action really has come into this game, maybe small Marquette action, but it's just, Marquette has looked really, really good in the last couple of games. I think they take the slipper off of NC State.
Right. The 4 games on Thursday, 6:39, UConn, San Diego State.
This is my upset. I like San Diego State on this one. UConn has played Stetson with the isn't Stetson a cologne that men wore in the 80s?
Yes, Stetson.
I'm not shocked. Connecticut, they play 2 cupcakes. San Diego State can be tough for them. They're physical. I like San Diego State. I can't believe you can get plus 11 right now on the Aztec.
Wow, that's a lot. Illinois and Iowa State. Illinois a 3 seed, Iowa State a 2 seed, 9:09 p.m. Thursday.
No one's talking about this 2 seed Iowa State. I like Iowa State to beat Illinois.
In the West, 2 more games. They will wrap up with Rafael Esparza, number 1 seed North Carolina, number 4 seed Alabama, Thursday, 8:39.
North Carolina is my prediction to cut down the nets. I don't know if I say that in your show, but they're my prediction. North Carolina wins.
All right. Number 2, Arizona. Number 6, Clemson. 6:09 Thursday.
Arizona wins. Clemson covers. Too many points. I'll take the plus 7.5.
Mr. Esparza, we will talk to you again on Friday, sir.
Take it easy. Have a fantastic week.
All right. Take care. All right. Let's see. Let's get going on with Kenny Farrell. The U.S. men's national soccer team got a win yesterday. How big was it? I'll ask him next on ESPN New Orleans.
It's Ram Truck Month at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Rams, long-lasting new pickups, or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Whether you need a truck for work or home life, the Ram will do its job. Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
On April 27th, the failure of the proposed new millage for LaFouche Parish Fire District 3 will have an adverse effect on the agency's PIAL, that's Property Insurance Association of Louisiana, grade. PIAL grades are determined based upon a number of different factors, including, but not limited to, firefighter manpower, that's hired and volunteer, firefighter response time, distance between fire stations, dispatch response time, training of firefighters, quality of equipment. Adverse effects on a community's PIAL grade will result.
And especially as his team, the New Orleans Jesters, get ready to get going here in a couple of weeks. Tryouts. We'll ask them how that went here as well. But first and foremost, sir, they are CONCACAF champs again. It's a three-peat, and they beat the Mexican national team again, 2-0. Overall thoughts, man, on the win, and what you thought of the U.S. in this tournament cycle?
I think it's an excellent win, obviously. You're saying you're arch rival. Have played them a lot recently, but have dominated most of the games. I've come away with good results. But this is important because it's a final and you're playing for a trophy and you want to dominate the region with CONCACAF, as we know. And to be as disciplined and comprehensive as they were last night, it was a well-deserved, in my opinion, 2-0 victory. But the stories of some of the comebacks with Gio Reyna, you know, the problems coming out of the World Cup, I've said this before, but he gets 2 assists on the semi-final and he goes and scores that outstanding goal. That was not an easy goal to score the way that ball was positioned coming into him last night. So he's coming away, you know, looking really good, which is what you want. In the long term, you're looking, as I always say this to you, Gus, we're looking for the World Cup. and you look at the ages of those players. I mean, across the front line, they're in their early 20s. Across the middle, they're in the mid-20s and early 20s. You know, around the back, they have some experience, you know, certainly with an older player back in there in centre-back in Tim Ream. But this team, if it stays on track, and we spoke about this the other day, the winning mentality that you can win any game that you play needs to get in there. The World Cup is what it's all about. This was a competitive game, very competitive. No one wanted to lose that game. Mexico did not take that lightly, and the USA didn't take that lightly last night. They're CONCACAF champions. But they're 2 years away from the World Cup, and they're on the right track. And I really do like the mentality of the team. And I think some of the skill levels, the maturity of the players that are coming through, that went through a World Cup, most of them, 2 years ago, when they were very, very young. This is good. And if you think about it, on Wednesday night, I heard some radio stations and sports stations say maybe they should fire the coach. I mean, if you have them equalized in the last minute, which was pretty much ridiculous, in my opinion. And then they come back and they take home the trophy. So it's on from here moving forward and their next steps. The part I'd be worried about, Gus, is that they don't have to qualify for the World Cup in 2026. So how many competitive games are they going to have? What's the schedule going to look like? And they won't be playing those, you know, Central American teams and Caribbean teams to qualify. So they got to fill those. They got to fill those weeks or those weekends, those international weekends, in my opinion, with top quality international teams that are probable to win the World Cup. The likes of the Italy, the Brazil, England, and other. I think that's how they need to fill their games going forward as they prepare. But listen, overall, it's fantastic for U.S. soccer. And the most impressive thing to me is the winning mentality.
Look,
the team is really landing well.
I play that highlight because I almost feel like Gio Reyna is the one guy that everyone talks about all the time, right? Go back to the World Cup, they didn't play him, this and that, and just going into halftime there, I was texting him like, my goodness, the analysts didn't care for how he's playing, where he's playing. They want him in the upper part of the field or by the goal box or you know, by goal. And he did it twice yesterday. One, he was an assist on the goal. The other, he actually got a goal. So you tell me, are they using him right? Is that something they need to work on and fix? Or is it just they're trying to find a narrative or a talking point? I don't know.
No, to me, it's really about the coach. The coach is trying to find the best way to blend the best talent that can attack, be creative, score goals, and can defend correctly and not give stuff away. At the end of the day, it's about winning the game. So they are trying. I mean, I could say that I like to see, Pulisic inside and not play wide. But at the end of the day, they're producing right now. They're producing, and no one knows better than the coach how to get it out of them. So, no, I think he's doing the right thing. But just think about it. From where Reyna has been playing, he's been an extremely important player, if not the most significant player, in both the games, the semi-final and the final. He scored a goal that put it over the top last night, and then on Friday he had two assists in the game. So in my opinion, they're using him correctly. Everybody will have their own opinion, but the coach is trying to find a balance, how to play the players and how to get the best out of them, how they blend and complement each other. So I don't think you can really complain about that right now, because they are on a bit of a roll.
One of the other things that I thought was kind of impressive that I was texting you about too, Kenny, was it does seem, because they interviewed you and he was emotional afterwards, and then pretty much all the players they talked to yesterday, they all actually gave credit to Coach Berhalter, and then they also said they love playing for one another and stuff. Is that kind of what the key that you keep saying is that, look, not every decision is going to be great, but the more that you get a group together playing several, years in championships or just tournaments and cups, whatever, that it eventually will pay off?
Yeah, well, just think of what they had to go through, this team, right? They went to the last 16 of the World Cup, which, was a success. Some people think they could have got to the last 8, but they got to the last 16. It's the same group of players with one of two additions. And then they go through the issue with the Reyna Berhalter issue, and it derails it. It upsets everything. I give U.S. soccer credit for this. They didn't change the backroom staff. They took the assistant coach and made him the head coach, while Berhalter stepped aside and they did an investigation. Nobody wanted that problem. That problem wasn't caused by Gio Reyna himself or by Berhalter. It was caused by, Reyna's parents, basically. So they come out of it, they fix their problems, and they're still a very tight unit. And they have not upset the whole apple cart. They've still got what they believed in gone into the last World Cup, knowing that that would be a platform and a foundation for learning and experience looking towards the next World Cup, which happens to be in the United States of America. So I think they're focused. I think they're tight. I think they put their arms around each other, and they're over that issue. And I can only see it getting stronger unless something comes out of the blue. I think they have a good chance to surprise people in the 26th World Cup. And this game last night just shows me that, you know, as I said, tactically they were smart. Discipline was excellent. It was comprehensive. They took players on. They scored great goals. I think it's a good performance all around. And we just need, as I say, the next 2 years, and we're certainly with Copa America coming up. I mean, that's going to be a mini World Cup right here with the teams that are playing in that. That's a great opportunity to get competitive games. But beyond that, you've got to look at where you take them over the next 2 years.
Mm. Yeah, like I said, it's going to be real interesting to sort of see what takes place moving on from that. That said, you have a lot of good matches and tournaments going on elsewhere before we get all of that, and we love to talk about what's going on with the EPL overseas and stuff. You gave us some games back on Friday to keep an eye on. What'd you think of the weekend?
Well, I haven't really looked at the weekend yet. I've been so tied up in this one, but I think I've been so tied up in the USA that, you know, mm-hmm. I haven't looked at it, But I will look at it. I honestly, it caught me off guard. I didn't check into next weekend's game because I thought we'd do that on Thursday.
No. I'm saying, like, what the games that you looked at, that you told us to look at over the weekend that took place, like,
oh, the one behind, yeah, I thought yes. You were looking forward to next weekend.
No, man, no. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, look, if we're talking about the Brazil-England game, that's an interesting one because you're looking at two teams that may play, you know, that, like, in 2 years' time would be looking to win the World Cup. And I think that was a drab game, in my opinion. And, I think England certainly did not achieve what they probably wanted to achieve at home against Brazil. Brazil beating them 1-0. But I thought it was a pretty drab game to look at. But the most exciting game for me on the weekend was the Costa Rica-Honduras game. And the level of play obviously isn't as high as England-Brazil. But the passion in that game is unbelievable. It was played in Frisco, Texas. And the winner of that game was going to get the last spot in the Copa America tournament this summer. And you know they're arch rivals. You know, they're right to the throat. So it was great. Honduras came out and they went up 1-0 in the first 5-6 minutes. And it was just toe-to-toe. And the whole game was, you know, everybody was just going for it. It was one of the most, that was the most exciting game to me this weekend that I watched, except for the one last night. So, but it was an international weekend. And we move on from there and we go back to domestic football. And of course, you know, it's for people that want to follow the American team. If you look at American players, you know, now we've got pressure on different positions as well, by the way, because we've got Haji Wright that's in there, is doing a good job. You've got Balogun, and these players are playing in Europe, they're playing in England, they're playing in Germany, they're playing in France, they're playing in, you know, they're playing in high level leagues, which is good for us as well. So we can track these players week in, week out. I mean, there's three or four of them in the EPL, English Premier League. We've got some of them that are playing in, you know, Pulisic's playing in Italy, and then the whole left side with Weah and McKinney, they're at Juventus. These are top class teams, and we can follow our American players through that. And if we get people interested in watching these games, because you can find them on television everywhere, and we should probably track those teams going forward, Gus, because it's going to be important to see how they're performing with their club, to see how.
I have you on once a week now, especially as we get closer how were your tryouts on Saturday?
Oh, they were great. They were great. I had about 25 people come out, all looking for you, Gus. You all wanted to have a penalty shootout with you.
I was busy.
And no, it was great. But I had, to be fair, I had a couple of 16-year-olds come out that I've known. And I will sign two of them just as developmental players. One happens to be a 6'7" goalkeeper.
A 6'7" goalkeeper. Wow.
Yeah, and he's not stopped growing. I was afraid that he'd bang his head off the crossbar, but he's only 16. And he'll come in as a developmental player, but he'll be training with the players. And there was another local kid that's 16 turning 17 that I've watched for years, and I think is a brilliant player. And I think he'll get some time as well this summer. And then there was a couple of other local players. We'll bring them in training, have a look, and see how it goes. But it was a great day overall. But the squad is forming great. We'll start training next week, and then we'll be ready for that. The home opening game, I think, is May 18th. So we'll be ready for that, and I hope we can all pull off.
Yeah, Coach Kenny Farrell, we'll talk again later this week, sir. Take care, buddy.
Take care. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Quick break. We'll come back. Jeff Boggs on ESPN New Orleans. Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KANE. ESPN bets. How is how your brackets looking, sir?
I'm not talking about it.
I'm with you.
I went with a few upsets, and you know the upsets were not a big thing for this first couple of rounds of the NCAA. Mm-hmm.
I could understand how that could be an issue. That said, when you look at the men and women's, man, so many good games on both ends that came down, I guess, close. A lot was being talked about lack of Cinderellas. How do you feel with that? Do you want Cinderella, or do you want the Blue Bloods and the top teams competing for the title?
Well, the first thing, I'm going to just talk about Oakland University. They won the first round. They did not get on a Cinderella run. You get to the Sweet 16, you can call yourself a Cinderella. But I didn't appreciate Oakland being, oh, their Cinderella run came to an end. No, it really didn't begin, but there you go. No, I'm okay as long as, you know, there's a reason these teams are ranked as they are, because what they did in the regular season, and I love those Cinderella runs, but no, I'm okay without them.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting, too, as to eventually, you know, I think you like that first round and second, you know, and then you want to kind of see some competitive games. This is what Seth Greenberg of ESPN had to say just a little bit ago.
Cinderellas are fine, but in the end, you want the very best teams. And last year, we had Cinderellas. You know, we had the FAUs. We had the San Diego State, which is not really a Cinderella. They're still alive. But the great thing about the NCAA tournament is you earn your way in. And then you, once you get in, you have an opportunity like anyone else. So this year, I don't think it impacts the viewership. I actually think it helps the viewership. I think now we have some teams that we really understand who they are, that we recognize their names.
Kind of the same thing you just said there, right? I mean, like, I think people want to see it to an extent. And at the same time, I think we're kind of happy with the 16 that are left right now.
Yeah, you especially feel better about the teams that were on the bubble that didn't get in when all the Blue Bloods are getting into the Sweet 16, maybe the Elite Eight and beyond. So, I'm comfortable.
All right, man. Let's look at some of the games here through ESPN Bet. No Pels game today. We do have a couple. I'm keeping an eye on Sacramento and Philly. Philly already did the Pels a favor a couple days ago here and helping New Orleans. Can they do us another one and beat Sacramento at Sacramento?
I'm not sure about that. Sacramento, 41-29 overall, 20-13 at home. Philadelphia, though, 39-32, 18-17 on the road. 76ers, though, have won 10 straight meetings against the Kings, which in itself is fairly impressive. Mostly recently winning, as you mentioned, in Philly January 12th. Kings, 9.5-point favorite, and that money does seem to be moving toward the Kings. The Kings over-under, 222.5, and the money line, Kings minus 375, 76ers plus 290. 76ers 4-1 against the spread over their last five games, so that's good news against the spread, but maybe not that the win you're looking for as far as the game to help out the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. But the Kings 12-7-1 against the spread with a rest advantage as the 76ers play the second half of a back-to-back. A couple of things you may want to know. Kevin Huerter of the Kings, he's out for Monday, a shoulder issue. They are coming off that 109-107 victory over the Magic Saturday, 5-2 over their last seven in games. Meanwhile, 76ers coming off a 121-107 road win over the Clippers on Sunday, and as you mentioned, good for the Pels, despite being a 9-point underdog entering the matchup. So again, 76ers looking pretty good against the spread, but do they overcome the Kings? I don't know.
Yeah. A couple other games in the NBA keeping an eye on that maybe can help the Pels. Spurs at home hosting the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, 13.5-point favorite are the Suns. Over under 223.5. Marks the second of back-to-back meetings between the Spurs and Suns in San Antonio. Suns walked away with a 25-point win in their last meeting. On Saturday, the Suns jumped out to a strong start in the game. They led by 9 points after a quarter, but the Spurs brought a better offensive effort in the second, but the Suns still managed to add another 9 points to their advantage, taking the 18-point lead into the break. Again, the Spurs 15-56. They've dropped three in a row. Hope to get back on track with an opportunity to improve on their 8-27 home record, but they may be without Wembanyama, his ankle giving him issues. So again, we'll have to wait and see there.
Yeah, that's not any good now that you say that, especially if Wembanyama's not going to play. And then the only other one I was keeping an eye on, Pacers and Clippers. I don't know if you saw the Lakers game or even looked at the box score yesterday. There was a slight disparity in terms of free throws.
I did hear about that. Yes, yeah. I did hear about that.
So I'm hoping that the Pacers are a little ticked off. Same stadium. They're not leaving. They probably didn't even clean up their locker room to play the Lakers last night. We had 16 free throw attempts to the Lakers 43. I don't know if it's going to be called that way. They lost 150 to 145. Any way they can beat the Clippers tonight, the Pacers, you think?
It's only a 5.5-point spread in favor of the Clippers. Pacers are 40-32, but they're in the middle of that West Coast road trip, and sometimes teams get wound down a little bit. Clippers, they're sitting at 44-26. They've been middling in the second half of the season, posting a 10-11 record across their last 21 games. They actually had the best record in the 2 months before, so maybe a little tough to understand why they hit a bit of a wall.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, a 500 stretch over a 21-game span, nothing to be concerned about. But, again, all their superstars have been pretty healthy. Leonard, Harden, Paul George look as good as ever right now. These teams played on December 18th with the Clippers winning 151-127. Mm-hmm. So, again, you got to be thinking 5.5 points. Not that much to cover for the Clippers.
All right. How can people get involved to ESPN Bet, sir?
Oh, absolutely. Now live in Louisiana. Has been for a couple of months, and looking forward to some great spring opportunities. But, again, ESPN Bet, the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. And, again, you're going to find all your favorite markets, bets like in-game wagering, cross-board parlays, teasers, all the props you can handle. Again, download it today. ESPN Bet, what a play. And as always, got to be 21 or older. And if you do have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. Terms and conditions do apply. And as always, check out the app for all the details and find them online at ESPNBet.com.
Thank you, Jeff. Talk to you tomorrow, sir.
You bet.
800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime into the Ruderman Can caller and guest hotline, hour two, brought to you by Chris's Paving, chrispaving.com. It's the way to go. Check him out over online. Check out all the things that they do. Driveways, parking lots, overlays, locally owned and operated, your asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the New Orleans and Bayou regions. Paving it all, 985-960-2131. If you can't remember the number, Chris. Paving.com. Easy enough to go check that out. Mike Tomlin spoke earlier this morning at the owners' meetings. Shockingly, he was asked about the quarterback battle. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields.
We're not resistant to competition, but as I've mentioned several times of late, I just think it's appropriate to establish positioning as we get into this thing. And the term that I've used is Russell has pole position. And why do I use that term? Because during this time where we're not formally working, man, I just think it's beneficial. His experience in the National Football League, his process that's been honed and perfected, talking about over a 12-month calendar, is not only good for him, it's good for teams. When it's time to compete, we get in training camp-like settings and going to preseason stadiums and so forth. Obviously, Justin will be given an opportunity to show his capability.
All right, so that's what he had to say. Sean Payton, any chance you going from 12 to go find a quarterback that you're looking for? Coach, any thoughts?
I think it's realistic. What's hard to predict, though, is like what's on the receiving end. You know, I think it's good to be Monty today at Arizona, right? It's hard to predict what that cost is, and yet I certainly wouldn't say it's unrealistic, and we'll pay close attention to it.
All right. Gerard Mayo, head coach of the New England Patriots. What about that third pick? Staying there? Trading out?
We sit at a very enviable spot at number three where
we could take someone at three, or, you know, if someone offers a bag, as we would say, a lot of first round picks, we definitely have to, you know, talk about those things as we continue to put together this team. You said it, there are holes on this team, but I would also say there will be people available going forward to fill those holes. The guaranteed way to win is to accumulate more picks. And so if we don't feel convicted at number three, to your point, like, we are willing to do that as well.
All right. That brings an end to hour number two. Hour three, got Marlon Favorite at 2:15, Leo Haggard at 2:30. Open segment if you guys want to chime in on the Rudiman Can caller hotline and guest line. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.